I need a motion to continue our meeting for tonight from our.
Second.
Mr. Barnes. Mr. Barnes, second, Ms. Barnes. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. 7-0, we're back to 6-0. Absent, missing. So we're back in the session. Ask Mr. Harper, please give the invocation.
Council. Father, we give thanks today as we come together now to consider the financial affairs of this community, and we ask that you guide our efforts today, that they will be fair and equitable to all involved. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the
United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
There is, as far as the agenda is concerned, there has been a request to add an item. Mrs. Spencer, would you like to add an item or two?
Yes, sir. Is it the Water Authority, Brian Marks is going to be the town's person for Water Authority, and let's go ahead and nominate him. And then Nancy Wheeler, the reason I'm doing it tonight is they have the Commission on Aging Week for Wednesday. And so I'd like to appoint Nancy Wheeler to the Commission on Aging.
Okay, let's make that item four.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else to add to this? Not hearing any. Have a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second, Mr. Barnes, second, Mr. Spencer. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion passes. Looks like the first thing we have here is Mr. Dubay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the board, I have a budget memo of recommendations contained in one of the books in front of you. I'd like to read over just some of the highlights of that, and then I will show you how the books are laid out. And then at that point, Mr. Goodwin has a short PowerPoint to give you some details that we believe are important. These budget recommendations for this year focuses on preserving critical needs for Louisa residents, including essential public safety functions, social services, and our shared commitment to the education of our children. The citizens of the county have every reason to be proud of under the capable leadership of the Board of Supervisors. With its conservative approach to managing revenue and expenditures, we are continuing to fare better than many other localities in our region. This proposed plan maintains our current property tax rate for the fifth consecutive year, and the county's general fund contains sufficient reserves to meet current obligations and provide adequate contingency funds for future events. However, we're still feeling the effects of the national downturn in economic activity. In preparing this proposed budget, the departments and agencies were instructed to focus on providing efficient, effective, and economical services for our citizens while planning for the future. The organization and presentation of the budget for this year has been modified somewhat from prior years. We are trying to increase the effectiveness of the presentation, make the documents more user-friendly, and allow a better comparative analysis between the budget and the comprehensive annual financial report. In front of you, there are three documents. The first one is the proposed budget of operations and maintenance. The second one is the proposed capital improvement plan. And finally, the last document is all of the details in case you feel the need to go through every single one of them. Everything is there in front of you. Our proposed budget focuses on challenges and opportunities. It's critical that we focus on maintaining services provided by government which have a direct impact on the quality of life of Louisa County citizens, business, and visitors. In the preparation of this proposal, the five goals set by the Board of Supervisors from fiscal year 11 remain: financial sustainability, economical public services, providing cost-effective public utilities, a competitive location to locate, expand business and industry, and high-quality opportunities for education, recreation, and employment in a community committed to public safety. The employees responsible for providing government services represent an important investment in the quality of life for our community and directly contribute to our local economy. This proposed budget has been balanced with effective fiscal planning and realistic budget preparation, and has been done so without any changes to current staffing levels. Through the outstanding efforts of the County Medical Insurance Committee, the county has negotiated a comparatively small increase in health and dental insurance, and you can see the comparison at the bottom. If you're following along in the book, it's on page 7. It should be noted that the proposed budget has no new positions and no increase in employee compensation. This is noteworthy given the fact that many departments have experienced increased demand for services. And you can see some of the examples there. Planning and zoning has had an 8% increase in building permits. Social services and CSA have had an increase. Fire and EMS have had an 11% increase, and sheriff has had a 7% increase. Through responsible commercial and industrial development in our designated growth areas, Louisa County has the continued opportunity to expand our local tax revenue base with new businesses and quality private sector employment in Louisa County. This has given rise to modest potential increases in sales tax revenues. However, these increases are not enough to offset reductions in property tax revenue or decrease in state aid localities. Proposed departmental budgets for operations and maintenance expenditures were nearly all consistent with FY11. There have been some understandable increases, but nearly all were flat or reduced as they were directed. The greatest challenge for the FY12 budget is the significant capital improvement needs which the board and the county must consider. After 2 years of relatively low capital expenditure levels, recent structural issues with the schools, the need to open a new landfill cells, and other proposed needs have combined to present the significant funding challenge. However, there has been significant operational improvements in the county in the past several years, including restructuring of the Department of Social Services, as well as cost containment measures undertaken by CSA, restructuring of the Department of Fire and EMS into a consolidated collaborative system, improved landfill operations, and reorganization of the Louisa County Water Authority under capable new leadership. This past year, the county has been recognized for its programs throughout the Commonwealth, including our first VACO Achievement Award for the Homebuyer Assistance Program and receipt of the county's 8th consecutive Certificate for Excellence in Financial Reporting Program from the Government Finance Office Association. Our Parks and Recreation Department received the Award of Excellence by the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, and Director Jane Sailhorse was honored by the Virginia Recreation and Park Society's President's Award. Additionally, the Department of Social Services, along with the Honorable Susan Whitlock and community volunteers, held the first National Adoption Day ceremony in Louisa County, celebrating the adoption of over 20 foster care children. In conclusion, our proposed plan represents a starting point for your deliberation and guidance. The Department Directors and I look forward to further discussion and your input as together we develop the final version of this plan. Through the outstanding efforts of the board, the County of Louisa is in excellent financial condition. While we continue to experience challenges, opportunities to increase the quality and efficiency of our service provide the continual potential for improvement. As you're aware, the 2010 census revealed Louisa County's population grew by nearly 30% in the past 10 years. The challenge for our public services will remain ahead of that growth curve using effective planning to maintain our community's excellent quality of life. Our dedicated workforce is the foundation of this quality service to our community, and approximately 75% of our employees are residents of Louisa County. We look forward and are ready to provide any assistance the board deems necessary in our effort to balance community expectations and fiscal responsibilities. I'd like to ask Mr. Goodwin to give you a brief presentation of focusing on revenues and expenditures, and he'll get into a little bit more detail. And at that point, Mr. Chair, we'll go wherever you want to go.
Thank you. It's all yours. Thank you, Chairman, members of the board. I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. I'd like to provide you with some summary information regarding the proposed budget for this year. As Mr. DeBay said, it is certainly not a complete budget without your input and expertise and guidance, and I cannot stress that strongly enough. This is only our preliminary recommendations, and we certainly look forward to your input. With that said, total revenues for the county, and this is inclusive of all funds, are up by about 2% or $1.7 million. That's driven largely by increases in state and federal revenues for educational funding. Our general fund revenues, which are more representative of what we get from a local standpoint, are actually down about a half a percent or a little over $270,000. That's driven by a decrease in real estate tax levies, which is offset in turn by an increase in public service corporation taxes, personal property taxes, and sales tax increases. So overall, we're up a little bit in total revenues, but most of those additional revenues are going towards education. That's the take-home point from a revenue standpoint. From an expenditure standpoint, as County Administrator said, our
department heads and managers have done a tremendous job in maintaining flat or reduced expenditures almost across the board. And you can see that in the detail that's in your budget book. We can talk about that in as much detail as you would like. The increases that we do have within certain functions within the county are, we do have an educational funding increase of roughly $1.23 million. It's important to note that that increase is completely offset by additional state and federal revenues. We talked about those a moment ago. And that it actually has resulted in a local contribution of $250,000 less for educational purposes this year than last year. We've had an increase of roughly $360,000 in correction and detention costs. This is driven largely by increased prisoner day counts at the Central Virginia Regional Jail and increased operational costs at that jail as well. The jail is basically funded by revenue sources that are similar to ours. Federal prisoner day revenues, state prisoner day revenues, and locality prisoner day revenues. Federal prisoner days are paid at approximately $50 per day, and they have decreased in recent years, and the jail's population has therefore been made up of an increasing number of state and local prisoners, which means lower revenues, and as such, the member localities have to contribute more. So that is what's driven that increase. We've also had a slight increase, smaller in comparison to CVRJ, at the Rappahannock Juvenile Center, and that has been driven by increased child care days at Rappahannock Juvenile Center. And then we've also had some increases in health and welfare. They've almost been completely offset by revenue increases as well. Social services has had some significant revenue. The local funding for social services is actually relatively flat. There's a small increase in budgeted CSA expenditures next year. But overall, the expenditures themselves have increased. It's just that they're offset by increased revenue. And then lastly, far and away the largest driver of our increased revenues this year is the proposed capital improvement plan. It is $14.79 million, up from just over $2 million last year. Talk about that a little bit more on this slide. The increase in the CIP for FY12 is almost $13 million, and that is 90% of our expenditure increases this year. So, just once again, with operations and maintenance, almost everything is flat, relatively flat, at least comparatively. And the CIP is really the large increase. The cost drivers in the CIP this year are the ones that we've, of course, been talking about. They're the addition to the schools, additional costs associated with opening a new cell at the landfill, $3.6 million there, and costs associated with the completion of the Zion Crossroads wastewater treatment plant expansion. There are some smaller projects as well that make up the balance between the roughly $13 million outlined here and the roughly $15 million total in the CIP, but these are the largest cost drivers. In closing, from a summary standpoint, I just would like to propose or outline what the proposed effects of this budget would be on our general fund. We had, at the close of fiscal year 10, roughly $46.5 million in funds within the general fund. The unencumbered funds, there are everything from the north end, there are a number of encumbrances within that $46 million that basically mean that we do not have $46.5 million of free cash to utilize on expenditures, and we can go through that in detail if you would like. But unencumbered funds in the general fund total about $12.7 million. What we're proposing or suggesting for your consideration in this budget would be utilizing $5 million of that to fund the CIP, $2.4 million to fund the remaining shortfalls in operations and maintenance, and that would leave us with an unencumbered balance of roughly $5.3 million. And it should be noted that we typically put back couple of million dollars roughly on an annual basis back in the general fund due to budget underruns. So some of this will likely get replenished at the end of this fiscal year. It's a little too early to say how much yet, but that will come back up a bit, I believe. And then the remainder of the capital improvement fund would be funded with debt. to build the addition to the schools. That would be a total of $8 million. So these would be the total effects on our fund balance based on the proposed budget, and then outlines the revenues and expenditures. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the county administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Goodwin. Just, Mr. Chair, if I could, in the books in front of you, or if you're looking online, the proposed operations maintenance budget on page 25 or 24 actually starts, each department or agency has a separate section in here, and we believe it's pretty easy to read, pretty easy to follow, but this is just the summary. All of the details, what you'd ask for, are in the typical sheets that you've seen in the past couple of years, that's in front of you as well. What's in the book is a summary. We believe it's a good overview, and then if you need the details, you get into the other document. I would like to thank Mr. Goodwin and Ms. Reidelbach and everyone else that helped put this together.
Ms. Stewart as well.
And Faye Stewart in the back there really did a good job with this. I came in the last month or so, but the yeoman's worth of work was done by them, and I would like to thank them right now. In the capital plan, in the front of that book, is the recommendations. It's after page 6. It's pretty small font. But those recommendations is what the Planning Commission recommended, and then what I recommended after that. And then in the back of that book is all the detail from each of the agencies or departments that put in a request. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back to you.
As usual, when we get all this information, it can be kind of overwhelming, obviously, from our perspective, but thank you all, gentlemen, for the big picture. I'm just going to open up at this time the board members to, as a rebuttal to Mr. Bay and Mr. Goodwin's basic questions of what they presented. So, Mr. Spencer.
I've got two. All of this money situation is that I understand we had over $1 million left over from school last year. How much was it?
1.3.
And so the state's given them the 1.3 million, and they've got the $777,000 left over.
The 1.3 includes $771,000.
How much did the state actually give? Because this thing here saying the state gave $1.3 million.
They received additional revenues this year totaling $712,439 from the state, $864,000 additional revenue from the federal government. That includes the $771,961 of ARRA funding that we've discussed a few times this year, and then a reduction actually in their other sources of funds of $96,000. So their total revenue increase was $1.23 million.
And last year we had to make up to $1.2 million. Isn't that right? But I thought the thing was that if they got more money in, that we would get that back.
Well, they had. I think it's important to note, and we went up. They went over this a bit at their at the joint meeting. They had several increases that are associated primarily with benefits this year. As our health and dental went up, so did theirs, roughly to the tune of $500,000. So, VRS health. That accounted for over $700,000 right there. There's a fuel surplus of $271,000 that they're proposing. Telecommunications increase of $95,000. And then they have proposed a bonus, which totals, I believe, around $520,000 of that $771,000. And the remainder is used to reduce our contribution by $250,000.
So I'm looking at page 11 here, and it says that the school went up $1.336 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're saying is the state money that came in?
Well, that's you're talking about on the expenditure side. That's what we just went through.
Right.
Bonus of 521, VRS of 558, health of 149, fuel 271, A couple other smaller numbers, yes, that totals almost $1.3 million.
Did we find out in the budget where the funds are coming to pay the 5% for this current year?
We have Mr. Green back here, and I might ask, I think they were in the normal operating budget for the current year, is that correct?
To pay 5% for the plan.
Plan 2 VRS.
And then they were going to use part of that.
Today.
It was already in there. That's my understanding. Correct, Mr. Green?
It was already
in there, yes, sir.
Because we did not know what VRS was going to do when we adopted it.
Okay, so you got a budget line item that's paying the VRS for people who came on after July 1st?
That's correct.
Okay. And the other one is just a petty thing, guys. But I'm looking here at the back, and we just said, no, we weren't going to give LACA the $3,000 for testing the water. And all they did is turn around, and now LACA's coming here and wants the $3,000 to give to LACA.
Yeah, the previous year, LACA had gotten you pulled it out of the previous year. And LACA had gotten, they came back with LAC as a request for three, and the proposal was to fund it. Certainly, all you guys.
So we just given LAC $3,000 to give to LACA. No. After we said no.
No, I don't think they give it to them. That's for the buoy.
No, this says here for the water quality monitoring.
The way it was written up was the proposal was to...
Who wrote it up?
For the ambient water quality monitoring program for Lake County.
Well, it's the third page from the back.
It's page
one. I think what happened there is last year we decided we were not going to give $3,000 to a civic association. If we gave anything, it would go to the LAC.
We didn't say we could give them anybody. We cut it off because we didn't want anybody out there to water.
Cross it out.
I would prefer to see it crossed out because the thing with this, we told them no.
We said it was a duplication of what DEQ is doing.
Exactly. You guys want to cut it out?
Cut it.
I thought you.
All right, so zero that out.
Let's go back to a couple other things that were mentioned in general terms. And some of us don't know all the conversations that took place at the board, school board meeting. They decided would give their employees bonuses. What is the recommendation in this report? I missed that.
I have recommended no increase in compensation.
No bonuses or increase.
It's not in.
Is that at the front?
Yes, sir.
Mr. DeBay.
Yes.
So we're not giving the county employees a bonus. But the school
was not recommended in this budget. This was
so the school is going to get $600 per person plus pay the 5% VRS.
That's what they have proposed, yes.
But we're not doing any of that for our people.
It's not in here, no, sir.
The reason I bring this subject up, I've been exposed to a lot of different counties in the last few months, and even like counties like Greene County that really have been struggling the last couple of years, as I think you all know. They elected this year to actually give a raise, not just a bonus, but a raise. I think we really, really, really need to consider what's happening around us and look at a bonus, at least a bonus for our employees. We know we've got good staff and good employees, and for them not to get what surrounding counties are getting, I think it would be a major detriment to them and to our approach with our employees. So I think we really need to consider doing something similar to what the school system is doing. Not to say the school fire went too high, was because most of the counties that I've heard about bonuses have been in the $250 to $500 range, to be honest with you, Mr. Torrance.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to kind of concede to Mr. Hopper. He's been on the board longer than I have. I'm sure he's done many more budget meetings than I have. And I'm not going to speak about what schools have or have not done. But I do want to speak about the fact that I bring it up every year, that I think we need to have a personnel committee that work jointly. We do that with benefits with school and account with the board supervisor. I think we need to have a compensation committee that looks at not only the benefit packages, but the compensation as a whole. A lot of localities are doing this. I think we won't run into these issues as much if we start having early compensation talks and start putting some of this stuff to rest when both can get the bodies together and start talking about packages for the entire county. I can say that I would support a bonus with the $250,000 that pretty much it was backed out of the school's budget, and allow our staff to, or concede to the county administrator to see how he can equitable disperse that.
What does that do for us as far as a bonus amount per employee?
We calculated if we gave 600 per employee for full-time employees and 300 for part-time employees, excluding the few program employees, those that do not work, that work a relatively small number of months per year, the total cost would be roughly $155,000.
And if we did the 5% VRS?
It cost $22,000.
Because, you know, it really concerns me. Brian Hupton sat in this chair at the joint meeting and said, I am sorry that we didn't consult you folks before we voted on the 5%, and we will take care of it. That it was a mistake because we were supposed to keep parallel with the school system. And so instead of taking care of it, this has been passed by the school board, expect us to give them the money to do this with. And at the same time, we're not going to do it for our people. I can get put in a corner. And like, you know, Fitz talked about having a meeting with them. My God, these guys talking back and forth every day. And the school decided they were going to jump up and do this bonus, and they're going to do this 5% hell with us and their employees. So that, if they're going to do it, and this board is not going to cut that out of school budget, then we need to give care of people.
Mr. Chairman, it looks like to me that... You know, that we had discussions and we talked about how we were going to work last year and want to work hand in hand, and that's what we did. And to me, I think that I can support taking the $1.3 million out of that budget and let them find money if they have it somewhere else to fund it. You know, when you look around through the community, some of you may work in an area that everybody is working full-time and everybody's employed and getting great benefits. There was an article not long ago that the private sector is not making what state and federal employees make. We say, we always say, you know, we have a good benefits package. The person who represents Dominion Benefits comes, and every time I come to me to ask him, how are our benefits? He said, you have rich benefits. You take somebody who's making $80,000, you get 35% in fringe benefits. That's a good piece of money. And I cannot support continuing to increase. We know we have a shortfall. The taxes are going down. We know that. We've looked at the data. We know that people are not, there are many people in my community that are not working full-time, that are not working full-time. And we've got obligations for the school and working on the buildings there. We've got obligations on closing and starting a new landfill. And you know, folks say that, you know, we can always be more attractive if we raise benefits. In the last couple interview panels I sat on, we have people who have come to work in county government making less money than the jobs they left because they had a compassion and a desire to work in this county. And I don't think that money is a complete motivator. And I cannot support that.
Well, a lot of it to me goes back to the last 2-3 years. We've tried to really work with the school board. We're talking about their employees, talking about our employees, all county employees, and try to be as consistent as possible. I think it would be a shame that we didn't treat our, like I said earlier, treat our employees at least what the school is doing for them.
Well, cut their budget, so they've got to do it.
Well, but they've got this $750,000 of federal money that is already sitting there for them to use on.
They can use it for other things. They don't have to use it for bonuses. They don't have to use it for bonuses, do they?
I think it's got to be personnel.
They have to use it for bonuses.
It's earmarked for compensation of staff, retaining existing staff, hiring new staff.
Last year there was a waiver given that they could do something else with it. This year,
that's right.
So far, and Holly, correct me if I'm wrong, there hasn't been a waiver. So.
But they can only be for bonuses.
It can only be for compensation.
Employee compensation and benefits.
And so we have the same number of employees going forward that we had 2 years ago. Did we increase staff last year?
No, we did increase staff this year for adding staff. multiple permanent people that
So then, we increased staff, and there were some staffing increases that drew on monies we had, and that money couldn't be used for that.
Well, yeah, I mean, the money could be used for anything the first time we could allocate it.
When we look at this budget, I think one thing we've got to look at is we talk about the employees and stuff like that, the benefits and all that stuff. But I haven't heard very much said about the taxpayers. And I think we have a responsibility to represent our taxpayers. They're the ones that are footing the bill for all this stuff. And people, as Dan just said, the people in the private sector are not getting raises, they're not getting bonuses, or at least not the ones I know of. I run a private business and I know what it's like. And I also know the people in my district, when you start increasing government spending, the stuff that we're looking at doing, then they're sitting back there, they're the ones that are struggling to make ends meet. They're the ones that are paying the taxes. And they don't understand how the ones on the government side continue to get raises, bonuses, and what have you. And they're losing their jobs. May not even have a job. They're worried about losing a job, much less getting bonuses and raises and stuff like that. So I think as we move forward through this thing, we need to keep in mind who we represent, and that's on the taxpayer side as well. That's where the money's coming from to support all of these services. And, you know, I think sometimes we lose track of that, and we need to keep it in mind as we're going through this thing.
Mr. Chairman, and I'm not going to continue because this is something. This is a fight we'll fight for life. I just tell you, and I've been fighting for 14 years. But I can tell you that as a child growing up, we didn't have running water until I was 16 years old. I dug more than one outhouse. I know what an outhouse is. One running water to us was we moved in a house with a pump that had a pump inside the primer, and we were tickled to death about that. So I beg the difference that we don't forget about people the less fortunate. This board has been very compassionate about people that are less fortunate. But I don't want to kill the morale of our troops in the field. And the public, when they come to this building, they expect somebody to be in community development. They expect somebody to be when they call and answer the phone. Now, I'm not sitting there advocating a 5% pay raise or whatever. I'm asking for a one-time bonus. But I do share this with my colleagues. I've not heard anybody continue to push for meal tax. We're leaving money on the table with meal tax. We can't sit back and take blows. We got to start throwing some punches. We know we need to run water and sewer over to the lake to increase the economic base. One reason there that we are weathering Storm LeBell and other localities because the board had the vision to put the infrastructure design crossroad that the taxpayers of Louisville trusted us to do that. I don't think our employees, I have not had an employee one come to me and cry about the last 4 years not getting pay raise. They understood that we had a tough time. I've not had one. But I think if it ain't but $100 or $200 or $300, and I tell everybody, I'm a public employee myself, and we got a $300 bonus. And that $300 check felt like $30,000 when we got it. Because it let us know that those above were at least thinking about us. So that's where I'm going to leave it at, Mr. Chairman, is that I want our employees to know that we are at least, because they are losing their homes. They have to put $4 gas in their car, and it's not easy for them either.
Well, the school board has already decided what they're going to do, but I'm hearing some proposals here that cut their money so they can't do that. Is that
Is that even possible?
I said, cut their money so they can't do it. I said, cut their money and then they can find what they're going to fund. We have said before, we don't do line item for them. We give them amount of money and then they determine where it's best used. Every year the school board comes back and returns money to the county. Every year they don't. We talked about last year about having a contingency fund. Again, this year they're building in a contingency fund. So do we have everybody building in a contingency fund, or do we have just the county having a contingency fund and people come back and ask for the money? And a thing that surprises me ever since I've been on this board, anytime people need money, they find it. Anytime they need money, they find it. And so it means that there's some, probably some pockets of money. You know, one of the things we talked about before is having an employment pool. I don't see any move in getting an employment pool, which helps to reduce the number of staffing we have. We know that we have peaks and valleys in a number of the operations here. That's an area I think that we can look at as well. We talked last year about having some money set aside. I recall it was probably in the $18 or $20 million that we have unencumbered in case there's something happened that the county could continue to operate. When Christian was talking a few minutes ago, if we take the money that I think I'm right, $7-8 billion we have left, they cut it down a considerable amount. And do we feel comfortable having to cut down that amount?
But technically, I still need to know, if we feel like the school's done too much, how do we change that?
Mr. Chairman, I've been doing it for a long time, and I can tell you the reality of it is, and you may as well face it, they operate independent of you and going to do what they want. The only choice you've got is the bottom line. And the rest of it is just waste of air when you talk.
In comparison here, when you're looking at over $14 million CIP program next year, we don't want to come up with $177,000 to treat our employees the same as the school system. Is that what we're really saying?
We're not saying. No matter what, how much you want it to be, no matter how many times you say it, you're not the same. It's a different body that runs that one. And this one has the purse control, and that's all. And that's true right here in our own operation. You've got the bottom line after that, you're out.
I don't disagree with that, but you have employees look at it a little bit different.
We got taxpayers look at it different. There's always a different view. You have the unfortunate task of having to decide which view you're going to take.
I was just saying, as I started out earlier, there are a lot of counties that have found ways to take a different approach this year from the last three. And I think it would be, in my opinion, wrong if we didn't also look at trying to do something for our employees that have not had help for 3 years. But I also agree with the other side I'm hearing from Ms. Barlow and Mr. Byers is that it's pretty pathetic when the only people getting raises in the United States are government workers, whether it's local, state or federal. If you look at that kind of turns me off as well. But when you get right down to our local level, it becomes a little bit more sensitive, at least to me.
Well, I'd like to, and Kristen, you said it's $46.5 million general fund, $12.7 million unencumbered.
Mm-hmm.
What's encumbered? The balance?
You keep $12 million in reserve for ongoing cash flow requirements. That's basically 6 months' worth of annual operational expenditures.
Okay.
We have $19.68 million designated for in Exhibit 3 in the CAFR. That includes the North Anna Stabilization Fund and the landfill, which is roughly $15.8 million if memory serves, and the landfill closure and opening funds, which is roughly 2.6, if memory serves. There are a couple of other.
Well, I don't want to go into too much detail because where we're going with this is that that left you how much to use this year?
You went from 46, and after you take out the encumbered amounts, 12.78.
And you dropped that to
5.33.
So you have a couple of years left. If the economy doesn't improve, you've got a couple of years left that you can ride this horse. And after that, some serious discussion is going to take place after that.
Yes.
You know, you take them up there now if you want to, but you may cut it right over from under in 2 years unless something turns around.
We know the property values are going down. You know, we have been fortunate to have some money. We know that we've got $12 million on the table for the school system. We don't know. There's been some discussion about, you know, other buildings that may have some similar types of defects. I just don't think it's good business or prudent to spend every dime we have. I mean, if we knew that the property values were going up next year, we don't know that. We know they're going down. Well, that's what the assessors have said.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, Mr. Gould.
Yes, sir.
What, I read an article today where local governments are starting to be more aggressive in investing the monies on the rate of return. Mm-hmm. Do you think we're getting back what we could get? Because I read an article today where that's happening.
I think we're probably averaging below what we could potentially get. We've already started talking with our treasurer about some alternatives, and she's very open and amenable to doing that. She is the custodian of the county's funds, so we do have to work with her on that, but I think she's very excited about doing that. And as soon as we get through the budget, I guess the long and short of that answer is I kept that revenue line flat in the budget for this year at $300,000, and it's my intent that our improved investment procedures and processes in the county would net some gravy for us in the budget there.
Because what locales are starting to do is use that to do some debt service things and stuff like that, operating things, because you can generate, the way you invest it, you can grow it and start using that interest.
It's not going to, now, it should be noted that that's not going to make up $4 or $5 million.
No, not $4 or $5 million, but.
You know, but you're talking about maybe, I'm hesitant to go too far out on a limb, but I think we can do better than what we're doing.
Well, gentlemen, I think we can talk about the employee increases for quite a while. I'd rather not take any action, in particular since Mr. Habs is not here, but I really do think that.
I wish y'all said that when I'm not here.
We do
this. This is not the other building.
Yes, because I do know that last year, and I bragged about Louisa County quite a bit in some of these other committees I go to outside the Louisa County about how we were able to protect our teachers, protect our classroom sizes, and hold their own as far as the fortunates that we had as far as the bottom line in this county. And for me to hear that there's counties that just couldn't hardly make it last year, or in fact, some of them giving our employees raises, as I said earlier, it makes me feel like we're backing up some. So anyhow, I think for now, let's rest this issue until we get back together for our next meeting and think about it. I see both sides of it. It's pretty easy to see that it really is. But I'd rather not get into any motions or votes until Mr. Haps is with us.
Mr. Chair, for our next budget meeting, can we have the finance director really, because this topic is really going beneath the radar of meals tax. And I had breakfast this morning, the new subway up there at Zion's Crossroad, and they were falling in there just like off the interstate, man. Fall out of interstate. They're falling off the interstate, and we ain't getting
it
down.
Well, Fitz, can we do it? Don't you have to wait 3 years before you put it back on the referendum?
I'll bring you the data the next time. Okay. Because of a change in the way we have to do the referendum.
I got no problem with it at all. I think we're losing all
we
a lot of money
in the
down there.
Election.
But this thing with the bonus and all, is that I've been fine all along with, you know, like $300, because that's what Albemarle did. So if Albemarle, as rich as they are and as big as they are, only gives 3, why are we giving 6 plus 5%? And the bottom line, guys, is no matter what we do, if we cut the $1.3 million, that school is going to find a way to continue doing the 5% in hell with us. And so that basically that we're going to have to decide exactly what we're going to do for air people. That the school's going to do what they want to do. Just like Willie said, just like they told me many times, is that once you give us money, we can do any damn thing we want to with it. It's none of your business.
Well, you can break down by categories, but the way they got the categories set up, they can
win. That makes no difference.
So you can't win from that perspective.
That's like all they said. The $700-some thousand could have been used last year to take up the slack, and that's what that money was made for. It wasn't made for bonuses or just throwaway.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I can, if you want to see the entire school budget, it is uploaded in Minutetrack. You can download it. It's several hundred pages.
Yeah. Did you, when you went to
Holden?
I'm only about 100 pages.
Okay. It is there if you want to see it.
I missed the last school board meeting, and Mr. Bay, I know you went to it. When they got in discussion about 600, was there any room for compromise?
They talked about a couple different figures, but it was right around 600. A little more to start with, a little less, and then it ended up at 600.
So in other words, if this board went to the
school
board...
That was for fourth time. They didn't consider anything the fourth time. Yeah.
But they got even more bus drivers getting. But if this board went to the school board and say, whoa, you know, we're having a hard time with this 600 versus 400, would that be a waste of time from your perspective in sitting through that meeting?
I don't think it would be a waste of time. Yeah,
it's
certainly worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was it that changed between that work session that we had and the actual board meeting that went from, like you said, when Brian Hopkins and we were having this joint work session, there was talk about not having the
plan two
with that,
the VRS,
that or the bonus. I mean, what they were looking at was being more in line with what the county was going to do.
Yeah, well, they had a discussion at that meeting about the VRS specifically, and one of the points made was out of the 14 schools in the district, is that correct, Hall? I think it's 14 schools that they're deducted credit, and Louisa County was the only one that did not pick up that 5%.
That wasn't.
Is that? No.
What it was, none of the other were considering not picking it up.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so we would have been the only one.
We would have been one of the only ones.
So that particular information led the board to discuss it, and they eventually went back and said they are going to fund it. And I think it was unanimous.
Well, we never went to the school board and said, we're considering X dollars for bonuses.
No, sir.
They took the lead.
They went and they wrote all on our end.
Of course, they moved before we do. Now we're on the outside looking in. Okay.
Well, one more thing before we move on. If we do like to do a bonus or whatever, then, I mean, we've got a lot of critical issues in the county that we're trying to fund. And they're all kind of we have, where they work here at school. So I'm more in line with what Dan was saying. If we're going to do something, rather than taking from our budget somewhere else, the county side of it, I think it needs to come from what the school, in other words, take it from that. If we're going to give our county employees some funding, whether it be a bonus or however we do it, rather than taking it from our general fund or whatever, we look at making things even and take it from the school side at the bottom line and shift it over to the county side.
Well, now help me out here now. The $250,000 that gap on the table.
That was the intention of that.
That was the intention of that.
That's 220. We did 170.
Well, that was left over.
But that was the intention of it, was to leave it there. For that, the county chose to do.
That's what they said. Yes.
Yeah.
What we're doing, we're looking at letting the school board dictate how we, as a board of supervisors, should be handling the funding. That's what we're doing.
We're going to have a good trust from start with. Why did everybody come up with this like 2 years ago?
Yeah, they're taking our responsibility. They're going to handle the funding because you're saying through the back door, they're saying, okay, we're going to give our people money so it forces you to do that. And I say take the $1.3 million.
Put most on the table.
What?
Put most on the table.
I said
I'd
do it tonight because Mr.
Harris. I'd rather not do it tonight. I think we need to consider these things.
I think you ought to go back to school board, chief, and come up with the sensible number. I've agreed all along to about 300. I think that would be no more than Albemarle. But I don't think we can sit up here and give twice what Albemarle did. We got people out here hadn't got $600 a month to live off of now. It doesn't make sense. We've got wonderful people here in this county that work and do the job here, and I think that's great. And I'm for rewarding our staff.
But I'm not going to get in a bind by sitting up here throwing $600 at somebody, and like I say, I've got somebody that doesn't have $600 to live off of. And it's a rotten deal that the school board pulled on us to start with.
Mr. Vasisi, if this board doesn't mind getting a meeting with Dr. Pettit and Mr. Strickland and myself, the four of us, just to relay on our concern about the size of the bonus?
Because Mr. Strickland told me Saturday morning that we were one of the few districts that did give the 5%, not the few districts that didn't give it. So I would think that somebody would let the chairman of the school board know exactly what's going on.
It's the other way around.
Do y'all have any problem with me doing that?
No, sir.
I don't want to step out.
I don't either, but I think bonus is just one piece of it. The 5% is the other piece of it.
And we talked about that.
And we've, apparently we've skirted over the fact that the insurance, that we're going to pick up the insurance as well. It was three items. It was the BSRS, it was the insurance, and also the bonus. The three items that was increased.
Well, what's proposed is a 50-50 split, right? For the insurance?
Yes, absolutely.
2.5% for the employee, 2.5% for the county.
The total goes up by 5%, and therefore each side picks up an equal increase, a proportional increase based on how much they pay.
We're doing the same thing in schools. We propose the same thing in schools.
Yes.
Are the schools doing that?
I'm sorry?
Are the schools doing that?
Yes.
If y'all don't have objection, I don't have my meeting just to show our concern about what they're doing.
It's a shared concern. I don't commit.
No, I would never make a commitment for the board unless you told me to.
I can support a DC. I thought I said 300, I can support that. And if they're going to do the 5%, then we need to do the 5%.
I may not go anywhere, but I think.
But like Dan, Dan says he'll cut to 1.3 million. We can cut to 1.3 million, but they're going to find the money to do it. I mean, they had 1.3 million left over last year. And they're people the ones that end up screwing.
Well, if they catch 1.3 million, then next year it'll be based on 1.3 million less than it was. You know, every year we kind of have a tendency to add on to it.
And I think it's important, whoever you talk to, whatever agency group you talk to, we point out to them that we've been very fortunate to date. But even if we continue current trends, 2 years from now, there's a serious consideration is going to have to take place. And then leave a little bit in the coffers if you want to work, try to hold people on, or they can spend it all now, and it just comes quicker.
To start, like I said earlier, I was absolutely amazed at some of these counties. All of a sudden, they're doing a reverse of what they did last year. What happened? Because I know they're not in much better shape than we are as far as revenues. But they made their decision.
Okay. Did Wayne County borrow money last year to make the budget?
Well, we go.
I mean, they're actually giving a raise.
Basically, last year they had to borrow money to beat their budget.
But they're giving a raise. They're not giving them money. Okay, if y'all have no objections, then Mr. Bay and myself are trying to meet with the school and show our concerns and, I don't know, make any difference or at least help.
Get it right.
We got off on that one item. That's weird. Our next item really is supposed to be operation maintenance budget. Any other concerns there? My concern I saw, I'm on a lot of committees and commissions, and I saw a couple of cases where those committees asked for $100 or $200 more, and they were not given it. I'll get more information out on those, but I think that $100 or $200 is not going to hurt the county. And the reason some of these committees we ask for the money is because of they really need it.
To who?
These committees and commissions that we have. The Transportation Commission asked for another $200.
Mr. Chair, if I could, my thought was we were asking everyone to be flat or below, and I treated everyone the same.
And I understand that, but $100 or $200 in some of these actually committee commissions can make a
difference. Well, you can go and give it to them if you feel that dedicated to that concern. Do it.
I'll do that when I get my raise. That's just an overall statement. I saw some of those in the
beginning. You'll see that they were all.
Yeah, I knew what was done, but what I'm saying is that one, obviously, increase their budget by 25% would be ridiculous, but $100 or $200 is not going to hurt us.
That would be increasing their budget by how much percent?
I don't know.
25.
Y'all got me scared missing budget meetings.
What do you want the money for?
Shit, I got this kid.
Well, one of
y'all have to take dinners and all that stuff.
No, we don't.
Yes, you do. I was on Transportation Safety Committee myself.
We don't have the diligence. We had pizza last night. I've had pizza for the last 4 days. About ready to kill me.
We feel for you. I'm ready to check it next.
Damn, well, you got that on the committee over at PD.
Also, I tell people when I get off the board.
That's how he makes up $32,000 a year.
As I tell people when I get off the board of supervisors, I know I'll lose 20 pounds that first month. I have to. Okay, don't let me do all the talking. Other comments, questions, concerns? We've got the two gentlemen here to put it together for us, so we need to ask them questions.
I would say, Mr. Chair, any questions that get put through email, we'll make a list of all questions and answers so everybody can be on the same page.
Well, I challenge the board. We got a lot of data in front of us, and we'll have to take some time.
We need to absorb it. Chief DeBase, I mean, Mr. DeBase says is that get our questions in so we can take care of it at the next board meeting. I mean, this is a whole lot of stuff to sit here and act on tonight.
Well, I don't think there was really intention to act on anything tonight, so we've got
Contingency for fuel. Did we have all the contingency fuel together? Sheriff's office, school, and everybody. Everybody have a contingency for fuel.
I believe each agency has a contingency. That's correct. Schools do.
That's correct.
Sheriff does.
Isn't that something the county should keep so that we can do it for everybody at the same time if they need it?
Should we? If that's the direction of the board, we can.
We talked about that before. And the other thing we talked about is buying. You know, one of the big items about a fire and EMS is being able to buy the bulk so that you get the benefits and so forth. And is there any opportunity in that area as well?
There is a lot of opportunity in that.
And if that's the case, why wouldn't we do contingency under one grouping? And, you know, they can always come back to the board and say, here's what our needs are, and this is the reason for that, you know. And, you know, contingencies are either coming back at a later date, or we have a tendency to give them everything in the beginning, and then people feel like, I got this money, I can spend it, instead of saying, here's what the necessities are. If there's something that runs amok and you need more money, you come back and ask for it. That's what a normal process works like. And why not be the same thing for the contingency for fuel?
Mr. Chairman, I get one other thing that just popped up in my little feeble mind, is that we need to put more money into EMS, into the fire, to be able to afford more part-time workers. Because it ain't happening. I was called by a chief Sunday morning at church screaming that he only had three people, three paid medics and firemen at the station. And I thought about it, wait a minute, this is Sunday morning. Where's the volunteer? I ain't got any. So, you know, we've got to get over this beautiful picture that we've got all the stuff going. Now, we do get the grant money to recruit volunteers. I think that's great to get them. But the actual fact of the matter right now is that these people don't have volunteers. And that's why I went through Sunday morning. Excuse me, that 500 people get the deduction for being a volunteer. And out of 500, you can't find one to show up at the station on Sunday. It doesn't. So I sound like it's more money putting that for part-timers, whatever, so we have these things.
What is the trend right now? Is our volunteers flat, or are they increasing at all?
Some are increasing, some are flat. There is a challenge in Louisa and Mineral, more than the others, to get volunteers. Now, is it exactly why that is, I couldn't put a finger on it. I'm hoping this study that was approved, that I sent you information on today, I'm pretty excited about that. I think they're going to come up with some good recommendations. And with the way the structure of the department is now, the MOU, those recommendations will go to them so we can implement countywide and try to get away from the haves and have-nots. I think there's a lot of opportunity for improving some of the volunteer participation.
I haven't looked at specific numbers for the paid. Did we increase that this year?
The only increase that you'll notice is mid-year last year we increased part-time staffing because we put people at Holly Grove Rescue. That just carries forward. There's no increase that's been proposed.
So Mr. Spencer proposed to add more along that line. Is that something we need to really, really have?
I believe I heard the proposal would be to add funding to the part-time line so we can bring that from part-time to another full-time. I can give you an analysis on what that would cost for next year.
It's a whole lot cheaper than full-time.
Well, that's what we talked about last time. It would increase it for part-time. Is that got filled by volunteer, we could drop it, we could move it back and forth kind of thing.
I would also like to see that the MOG has some time to put together some policies to help increase those volunteers too, instead of just going down one route and not the other.
I think it's one of the things we talked about, is what the level of activity we want getting volunteers. You know, we said that once we get this program in, it's going to be, we're going to be able to have some systematic ways of looking at and coming up with ways of helping to inspire people, and I think that we need to pursue that as well.
And I think this study group is going to really help us, because it's a nationally based group.
Joe, I think
I'm asking for the. All I'm asking for that is Chief DeBay to have. I mean, Mr. DeBay to have that together for us, and send that to email and exactly how much more that you would need for part time at this budget.
Okay, I'll have it for you next meeting.
Because I don't care if it's a volunteer comes to pick me up or it's a paid person or pay them volunteer, but I want somebody there.
Plus, I think we do need to move on to the big dollar items in the CIP. But first of all, before we get off the operation and maintenance budget, I've gone through the document, and again, Mr. DeBay, Mr. Goodwin, thanks. You know, it's got a lot of good information. And all the things here, we've only talked about two or three items, so it shows that we're pretty much all on the same page. Get into the CIP, just opening remarks there, I did notice that there were some decreases made.
Thanks.
Gentlemen, let's continue with the meeting, please. Some folks have to leave. As I was getting ready to make an opening comment about the CIP budget, it's interesting that the department request and school request total $19,535,100. The Planning Commission recommended, I'm not reading this, $19,486. They cut it some, and then the County Administrator cut it down to $14,796,390. It looks like the bigger chunk, of course, is the school. I looked over these, and basically my opinion is that the County Administrator did a very good job of cutting work.
He didn't make me get the law when he cut $100.
He didn't cut it, he just didn't give me more. So I just want to, again, put it out on the floor for comments, questions concerning the CIP. It is overwhelming, I think, that it's as big as it is this year, but, you know, with $8 million for the school and et cetera, not much room for wiggle in there based on what the real needs are. I did sit through the Planning Commission meetings when it went over this line by line, and I went there with the idea of what we could cross off, and I tell you, pretty much everything that you heard was really deep. It really was. There wasn't any questions. But I do see where this debate was able to find a few cuts. I don't know that we can slightly more than he has, but anyhow, open for discussion.
Mr. Chair, I certainly commend staff for looking at it. But here's a question I got. Had the deal went forward with Fluvanna, our half would be $27 million. Is that not right? How would we have paid for that? What I'm saying.
We wouldn't be able to, right?
The authority was going to take care of that.
Right, which we know how that works. But here's a question I got. If we need to be a little bit more 21st century and looking at how we pay for our CIP projects. You know, we've always went cash. For example, we all know, we don't know what's coming forward with broadband, but we do know that people in the county are starving for it. It's a want. But there's no money here in this budget for it. Second, the other concern I have, we all know that we really do need to look at water and sewer going to Lake Anna. What I'm saying is there are creative ways, and I've talked to Mr. Goodman some back and forth about looking at some ways to look at our capital projects, especially in a time period right now where you can get a little bit more bang for the buck in construction projects. I'm just saying, though, we may revisit the way we do some of our projects and look at bond ratings, selling bonds are attractive to some people right now. But we may need to revisit the way we do some of these projects, because like I said before, the longer we put off water and sewer design to Lake Anna, the longer it sets back our economic revenue that we can get. So I'm just saying, I'd like to see us revisit on how we finance some of these projects. I mean, you know, I think we're fortunate to have somebody from the private sector and with the experience that Mr. Goodman have, and I'd like to see us to revisit how we do some of these projects.
Mr. Chair, if I could, Mr. Barnes, if you look in economic development, it wasn't in IT, the broadband seed funding is in there for $50,000 in economic development on the last page of that.
Yeah, but $50,000, that ain't going to get the ice cold.
No, I understand what you're saying.
But I understand our approach and it won't be prudent, but I'm saying we may need to look at, with the capital projects we got coming, of ways to do that in a more non-conventional way. And Mr. Goodman can tell you about some of those ways better than I can. I don't know.
Well, I think you're making a good point, and unfortunately, I don't know enough about that to make suggestions. So I have to depend on Mr. Goodman, Mr. Data, to educate us that. So maybe perhaps we need to know more what our options are, because I don't know.
We can certainly do that.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
Spencer. Yes, sir. This broadband thing is, if everybody wants it, and the way it looks is something we can afford, but we can also get our money back over a certain period of time. So if the broadband thing plays out, say, even if it played out this year, before July the 1st, we would have the funds to be able to go ahead and do it, wouldn't we?
Well, there are a whole lot of variables on the table right now with the broadband initiative. The first iteration of how we're going to have it set up from an infrastructure standpoint, I think they kind of initially said, well, maybe that's not going to cover as much of the county as we thought it would, and we would need additional towers. So there's an RFP out on the street right now. It's kind of a two-stage effort. The first part of the RFP is to develop a plan for covering the county in broadband, and the second is to have somebody set the infrastructure up. I kind of like the approach of this capital project for one primary reason, and that is it's approached from a standpoint of self-sufficiency, which sets it somewhat alone from
money back.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I would encourage the board to view things like this, public-private partnerships, which is basically what this broadband thing boils down to, if in fact it does get wings.
If it gets wings, instead of cost us $1.7, $1.8 million, we've got that in the kitty.
Sure. Yeah, we do.
Well, I'm hoping that we get more serious from the county perspective, that Verizon will get more serious, because they're putting cabling out here every day in Louisa County.
I kind of hope that we're going to get a private partner that's going to want to assume some of this risk. That's the thing I don't like about it. I think everybody looks at the amount of money that we have available from these types of things, and I'd like everybody to have that kind of skin in the game, I think.
Hardly a month goes by, somebody doesn't really chew on me about not having it. I'm making excuses. This is about all I can do.
Well, the thing is, we are on the move with it, and that's why I would ask the question tonight, is if this thing comes up in 6 months or 8 months, if we've got the money in the kitty to be able to do it, because it's an investment type thing, because you're going to get your money back, and we'll continue getting money back off of it.
I think one of the things you have to consider too is that apparently it's not as profitable, if it were really, really profitable and not much risk, private enterprise would be jumping all over it. And I think if we look at it, you got to make a decision. Are you going to make a commitment to provide it, the service, at a cost to everybody?
Virginia Broadband tried it with the cooperative, with the Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. They couldn't make it work. They're out of it. It's interesting to hear Mr. Barnes refer to Mr. Goodman in terms of the private. Why isn't the private, if there's money to be made, why isn't the private sector out there doing
it? Same reason we don't have Verizon at Blue Ridge Shores around this county.
Because it's likely not a money maker. It's likely not a money maker.
Yeah, but I've heard Mr. Goodman, though, about financing these capital projects. Yeah, I'm like you. I agree with you with the broadband, but what has happened is the weed is just like other localities. We're rural enough that the Verizons of the world, don't see it as a great business model, but we're not isolated, whereas there's other localities that are taking the same approach that we're about to go down, because no one would bring it to them.
You don't have a higher density, in my opinion, in Louisiana County than you have in Lake Hampton.
Right.
And Comcast is not even active.
Right. I'm with you.
It's all numbers, Drew. Numbers get right, Verizon will turn the system on.
But if you go north of Culpeper and you travel 29 and go to every other utility pole that has a little antenna stuck up.
Yeah. Well, did you read the article about the Gap and Fark here? It's Gap and Fark here to take it upon himself and doing rooftop, doing broadband. But what I wanted to hear from Mr. Goodman in a brief is summation is, how do we get our future CIP projects on the table and find some creative financing where we can get them done?
Well, I think we just put the word out to help us there on that particular ground.
Well, let me ask a question. When the project gets ready to go, the Water Authority has the capacity to do bonds. Is that where we're going?
I just want to know.
And they recovered their money then.
And I just want to know. That's all. I just want to know. For example, do we create a service authority around the lake?
I think it's best to combine all of them and have one.
Right, but we haven't had those discussions. Here's what I don't want to have, Mr. Hopper. I don't want us to not be aggressively going that direction. Because for every year you wait, you're 5 years behind in economic development. You're 5 years behind.
The bad part about water and sewer around the lake is that those subdivisions are far apart. And then you got to remember the subdivisions. You might have a big subdivision, but the people only come around the weekend.
I'm just talking about commercial development. I'm not talking about residents.
They're going to want the water and sewer too.
It won't be
affordable.
Yes, sir.
When Bob, you were talking about the broadband, when Bob came to us and was talking about it, we were talking about a figure, we were trying to get a scenario where everybody would pay in the $35 range and that type of thing. And it was, what I didn't understand then is why you were concerned about the $35 range if everybody's so hungry for it. My air card at the office, I paid $60-some for it. But if you need it that bad, why were we so concerned about getting it at a $35 range as opposed to just putting it out there and letting people pay what it costs to, you know, to foot the bill for
it? Did Bob come back later and say that $35 was way underestimated?
That's right.
Yeah, but kind of piggyback on what Mr. Barlow said, or earlier, Mr. Barlow, we were about the pole man. So we don't want to make that card so expensive that the pole man can't get one too. So what I'm saying is, you want to look out for citizens if you can. But if the business model dictates $65 or $70, that's where it is. But you want to try to start off with a price line that all citizens, it won't be cost prohibitive. But if the business model says $65, $70, that's where it's going to go.
Why don't you get it in for $65 or $70, and as the business increases, then lower your price?
Well, I'm gonna trust him. I'm gonna trust his expertise in RP, and they're gonna come up with a good model with that. No, they got RP in the street.
It's already out for
them. It was in the paper Sunday.
I don't
know. So, Dell Progress.
Hey, gentlemen, other comments about the CIP?
That's the only comment that I got. And gentlemen, all I ask, if we can. Since I'm not bringing up lights this year, Mr. Hopper. I'm not bringing up lights this year, Mr. Bayes.
Great.
We got them. But I do ask that we can fund the Housing Foundation the same amount we funded last year for the down payment system, give them the same as last year, no less.
Good point, I think.
I got no problem with that. I've got two people in my church. In fact, as I forgot to bring the letter thanking the Board of Supervisors, but one that looked at it in their house, and they're just thrilled to death with it. And so I said, I've got no problems.
You change people's lives and burn them on money. Okay, CIP?
$14,798,390.
I think it's hard to read this book.
You want meal tax.
They didn't talk about agenda summer this year.
They ain't gonna talk about it. You heard your delegate last week.
My delegate.
Aren't y'all
sacrifice, but on your part, it needs to work.
Pete, I knew you were
talking.
You know, I'm going to run Pete.
I'm going to leave.
All right.
At least you know where Louisa is.
You have a promise to get us that?
Harvey said he'd campaign.
Okay, gentlemen, this opportunity to ask the folks to put all this together for us. Questions?
I'm going to piggyback on my great friend, Mr. Hopper. I think we really do need to work diligently to do 5-year forecasts with our budgets. I think we need to do a better job. I think we really do need to look at forecasting expenditures and revenue. And we need to, and it's going to shock some, but I truly believe that we need to start out, you can put Mr. Hopper, or I don't care, Mr. Bice, Mr. Spencer, whoever. We need to start out not in September, not in August. We need to start now, build a next year budget, and we need a committee working together on compensation so that when these things come up, because we don't want a them versus us. When our employees get their check, they got Willa Gentry name on it, Glory Lane name on it, and I'm in a different way you get a check at. And we need to become a united front.
I think that we've worked hard on doing that the last 2 years.
I think too. I don't want us to give up on it, Mr. Chairman. And I say this and I say this again. We really need to start working, and I know we need to ask the school once again. I think if you're entry level secretary here at the county office building, and a step above you come open at the schools, you can apply back and forth. But I think we need to start looking at doing more things together. I just don't want to give up on that. I think if you sing it long enough, somebody will buy.
I think we've gone a long ways. It's hard to say how many hours that Mr. Ball has actually put in with Dr. Pettit on some of those same topics. And Mr. Day had the same challenge.
Last chance of game Monday night. Mr. Chair.
Okay, fellas, again, last call here.
I think it's put
together very well that even I can understand it. So we ought to get there our next meeting with some suggestions, recommendations.
But Mr. Chairman, briefly, I will tell you this. I want the board member to realize our meetings are archived on the website, the video, and we got a group of kids in Monticello that's doing their senior project on North Anna Nuclear Power. I was able to go back online and scroll right to the point in the meeting where they could see the public hearing. And I don't think our general public knows, and I don't know, we've been trying, but in some kind of way we've got to educate them that they got some of the best accessibility that they've ever had to local government meetings since I've been here.
Yes, they got broadband.
And I want to thank our staff, though. That is awesome. And I was able to help those young kids with
that. The thing with broadband, guys, is that the kids need it for the schoolwork. We're buying them laptops just sitting all over the place in the cabinet to look at them.
Yeah.
We'd be in trouble if our county ever decided to go to an iBook. We take it home. We'd be in trouble. Most kids couldn't do the homework.
Okay, Jim, let's put our thank you caps on for our next budget meeting. Meanwhile, we do have item number 4 added by Mr. Spencer. You want to make a couple of appointments, I believe.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We discussed last trip around having somebody from the town of Louisa on the Louisa County Water Authority Board, and the mayor has chosen Brian Barks, who is the town manager, to be the appointment on this. I'd like to nominate him.
Second.
And then have Nancy Wheeler for the Commission on Aging. And I'd like to appoint her tonight because the meeting's Wednesday.
Anybody else have any other appointments? Because we will open this up for our next board meeting as well. Anybody else got anything? Not hearing any. Look for a motion.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Spencer, second by Mr. Barnes for Brian Marks on the LCWA and Nancy Wheeler on the COA. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All against? Motion 6-0. Liberal motion to adjourn.
It is.
Second, Mr. Barlow, discussion. All in favor say aye.
Green.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 6-0, we're out of here.